Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always take us with you when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app, which you can get at the App Store or Play Store. And if you do not have a mobile device, you can also live stream us from your computer at www.guardiantalkradio.com. And listen to us that way too, old school. So this evening we have a single guest in the studio, but there is going to be a lot to talk about because he has been one of our major, major cultural practitioners for many years. And the great Brent Malone often said that he should not be called the father of Bahamian art, but that this fine gentleman should be, and that is Mr. Max Taylor. Max, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bahamas. Thank you for having me here.
More than welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. So those of us in the cultural community, and especially in the fine art community, know who you are. But I always hope that a lot of people listen to the show because they want to learn about our own artistic landscape. So let's just learn a little bit about Max Taylor, about who you are, where you came from, and how you ended up getting into the art field. So you are a Nassau boy, is that correct?
Originally, yes.
Originally, yeah.
Grantstown.
Mm-hmm.
Born in, what you call it? Born and bred in Grantstown.
Yeah, exactly. Born, bred, gedead, Bahamian, yeah, right? Yeah. So how did you discover art from being a young boy in Grantstown? What was the path that took you on your travels?
That's an interesting question, because how did I discover art? You know, that's I suppose I discovered it probably in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say discovered art, when I was in school, Reston Senior, and then I went to our ladies, we always had we always had friends of mine, so schoolmates of mine, who was always drawing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't remember their names, but some of them were even better than I was in drawing, you know, because, matter of fact, it got to the point where instead of me listening to my teacher, I was drawing. So I was always getting a slap behind my head and things like that. Or, you know, they would ask me to pay attention. But I used to draw from a lot of colored books, that you had to color during, a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's where it always started, because instead of me paying attention, I was drawing. I really had no interest in English, arithmetic, and that sort of thing at all, you know. And I didn't realize that until I was at the age when I was leaving, because I really never liked school at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always wild, free and that type of thing.
Wild, okay. Yeah. That's a whole new side of Max Taylor coming out.
I was always going somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know. So one of the strange things about that is that when school was out, I would never go home. I would go with some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I never reach home until around 6 and 7 o'clock in the evenings, you know?
Which is sort of lovely, because I think now we're so controlled about where our kids are and we're so worried. It's nice that you had that freedom in a way.
Yeah, you know, you brought up a very good point, because during that time you were free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't any crime, you know, all that type of thing, you know. It's just that we as kids had to be home at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I grew up without a father, so it was always my mother who was at work, you know. My sister was with my aunt, but me, I was somewhere fooling around. That's how it was.
Yeah. That's interesting, though, because women are a big part of your work. You very often have a central figure. I mean, you do men as well, but, like, very often there's a very sort of iconic, strong woman in many of your images.
Well, you brought up a good point, because I was brought up by my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time she was a seamstress. You know, during that time, seamstress and tailors was very frequently, you know, in Nassau, you know. And I think my whole family was tailors, you know, because my uncle was a tailor, you know. My aunt, I think she was a tailor, you know. They used to send me to tailor trade. I didn't have the discipline to learn how to put buttons on and stuff like that because I just wasn't disciplined and I wasn't interested, you know. Because while even I was learning tailor trade, I was looking outside to see how I can get out of there. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's interesting, though, because I found it quite common that a lot of Bahamian visual artists today, of all different ages, but very often they had parents that were, in fact, creative in their own way. Because being a seamstress and being a tailor is actually it's a creative practice as well. And often they were, maybe masons, maybe something to do with the hands. So I find it kind of interesting that your family were also tailors.
Yeah, well, you brought up a very good point, because to be a tailor at that time or a seamstress, you know, it was quite common, you know. But sadly, when I look around, well, you know, most of the tailors that we have now must be Haitians or Chinese or something like that.
Yeah, it's true.
We have
very few Bahamian tailors.
Yep. Very few tailors. And it's very sad because when I was growing up, we had them all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know?
So when you left school, how did you then continue on that path of learning more about art?
Well, I went to Weston Senior, I went to Weston Junior, and then the family was separated. After the family was separated, I went to live with some of my cousins who were Roman Catholics, you see. So I went to Our Lady's, and one of the things about the Sisters of Charity, they also knew that, they knew I had some talent because I was always drawing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during the time of Easter and so forth like that, I would draw the crucifix on the blackboard, and they would leave it there until after, you know, Easter and stuff like that, you know. So I think that in a sense, when I was at the Catholic school, I got a lot of encouragement, you know, from the sisters. Mm-hmm. And one of the Sister Coakley, Telsina Coakley, she was one of those sisters who was very intelligent. And when I say intelligent, I think she was way ahead of a lot of teachers at that time. Because she used to show us how to squid ants and stuff like that. And then she also used to bring in Don Russell, who used to come and give us our lessons, you know.
And Don Russell had an academy, right? So Don Russell's
National
Academy.
National Academy of Fine Art. Brent Malone went there. I went there. A few other people, Ralph Munnings went there, you know. And it was pretty interesting, you know, because I really didn't meet Brent until he was at the Chelsea Pottery.
Oh, really? You didn't meet him at Russell's Academy?
I knew him sparingly, but not as I did at the Chelsea Pottery, you know, because he was young, I was young, but, you know. But I think also my teacher, Don Russell, he saw some talent in me, and he placed some interest, and, you know, all that stuff. But I wasn't really serious yet at all about art, you know.
But it's interesting that there's that difference between your teachers who were hitting you on the back of the head because you weren't paying attention, and the nuns and Don Russell who saw that you might not have been academically inclined, but you had a talent that needed encouraging.
Yeah, needed encouragement. I think that's it. I would put it in that context. You know, and I did get encouragement while I was in Nassau, but not to the extent where I really wanted to be an artist. Because I really wanted to be a carpenter or something. I like carpentry. I still do. Because I still try to make my own frames and things.
Well,
like
I can say, it all begins to make sense, the way you like woodcuts. Uh-huh. So when was that time where you had I don't know if it was a revelation or a slowly growing feeling that art might be something you really wanted to pursue in any sort of serious way?
When you really look at it, during that period, after I got out of school, and I have to give thanks to Sister Delcina Coakley, because if it probably wasn't for her and her encouragement, I probably still would have taken up carpentry, you know, something like that, you know. But not only that, during that period, we never had art history mm-hmm. and things like that in school. The only mm-hmm. Teacher we have was Horace Wright. And I'd probably see him about once or twice a year because he used to teach all the schools, from the Outer Islands and in Nassau.
So he traveled around all the schools doing art. Wow.
He was the only art teacher we had, So I used to get most of my interest from books. Mm-hmm. We had a book on our bookstore on Bank Lane. Mosley Bookstore, I think it was. I used to get all my books from there. And I used to read just about everything about art that I possibly can. And not only that, it became even more encouragement because that's where Brent and Kendall and Vernon Cambridge, that's where they used to get their books from also. Mm-hmm. And the encouraging part about that is the lady who was in charge, she used to allow us to pay, what we can.
Sure. Lay away.
Lay away. Yeah, that's a
lovely.
That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And that's how I, matter of fact, I still have some books now from that period.
And did you acknowledge each other at that time, Brent and Kendall, as being sort of, did you sort of see that, they're these same people that are coming always to this bookstore? Or did you only find each other later at Chelsea Pottery?
No, we, I think this was during the Chelsea Pottery.
Okay.
Yes, because, before I went to the Chelsea Pottery, I used to work as a busboy. Mm-hmm. Emerald Beach Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. Cable Beach?
Cable Beach.
I remember it.
Yeah.
Good Lord, I must be old.
Well, don't mention it,
Yeah.
But, but I used to get a lot of books from there, Rembrandt, books on Rembrandt, Manet, all mm-hmm. you could find, And when we get together, we would always talk about Picasso and all those guys mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Because art during that time was just a sort of a beginning, mm-hmm. The existing. Nobody had any interest at all, mm-hmm. But we took interest, on our own mm-hmm. because we really had something in common, all of us. And, sometimes, as Brent said that, sometimes we never left the pottery until around, 7, 8 o'clock.
Just talking.
Just talking.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we need sort of back in our community is a space where artists can just meet and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about art and their practice and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you mentioned Picasso last because whenever I talk about your work, I always think about Picasso because of the African masks and the debt that he paid to African culture and that kind of breaking up and that plainer sort of cubist mm-hmm. way. And whenever I look at your work, I see similarities.
Well, you brought up a very good point because I was influenced by Expressionism.
Mm-hmm.
I was influenced by Cubist, which I, learned a lot from Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to try it, and I still like it. Maybe mm-hmm. sometimes I still would put it in my work,
mm-hmm.
Because I found it pretty interesting,
mm-hmm.
It
is very, but, and I find it interesting that again, he was influenced by the African art he came, and that Bahamian artists were then influenced by him. It's kind of this weird lineage where, and it's actually that combination, too, of Africa and Europe, which somehow is, again, a very Bahamian thing.
Yeah, because, Picasso was one of those who experimented with all different types of expressions,
mm-hmm.
In art,
And etchings and printmaking, which we'll get to in the next segment. Because, again, Max Taylor, who's with me tonight in the studio, is really known as the premier printmaker in our country. While he's a painter and a ceramicist and many things, really the prints are sort of the signature work that, you see one and right away that's a Max Taylor. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the break. I'm here in the studio with Max Taylor. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.
Thank you.
That was easy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go. And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Also, don't forget, if you have missed the beginning of the show, or you have to maybe get out of your car halfway through, we do archive all of the shows on our own website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you will see pictures of who's been on the show, and you'll also be able to download the show and forward it to friends if you want people to listen to it. So don't forget to do that. And while you are on the website, I always encourage you to go and look at our calendar, because we do much more than just have exhibitions. The exhibitions change up to 16 times a year. So again, if you've been to the National Art Gallery one time, you have not seen it all, you can come back again. We're constantly changing offerings, putting up new shows. Some stay up for longer, some for less time. So go to the calendar and see what's happening. But we also have lots of events. Like tonight, we have a book launch for a book of photography about Eleuthera. So that is from 6 to 9. So if you're in the car going somewhere, you could always pop by the gallery and have a glass of champagne and come to the book launch. It's going to be a lovely book that you could get maybe for someone for Christmas. We also have the National Exhibition opening in a couple of weeks. That is always open to the public. The opening is on the 13th of December and starts at 6 p.m. And that is always open for everybody. We have our ongoing film series, Travolta Cooper curating different movies that we screen in the amphitheater. We're going to have Christmas jazz on the 21st in the amphitheater, free concert by Willis and the Illis on Friday the 7th of December. That is again free. So please go to the calendar, take a look and see what's happening and participate in your NAGB. That again is www.nagb.org.bs. And now we're going to get back to tonight's subject, who is Mr. Max Taylor sitting in the studio with me. And we're learning all about how Max got interested in art. He is opening his own show with fellow printmakers on Friday, November 30th, so that's in 2 days, at Dungalik Studios, which is down there on Village Road, between 6 and 9 p.m. is the opening. And again, all the openings, normally when there's an art opening, that is free, and no one has to wait for an invitation. You can just go. The galleries are always happy to see you. The artists are always happy to see you. So I really encourage you to go out and support our artists. And that is a show that's called Imprint, and it is about printmaking in the Bahamas. Because as I was saying just before the break, Max is really known, even though he is an amazing painter, incredible ceramicist. He still makes wonderful ceramics that you can still get at various places, including the NAGB store. But he really is known as being the leading printmaker in the Bahamas. So, Max, why printmaking? You learned, obviously, ceramics at Chelsea Pottery. And for the people listening that don't know what Chelsea Pottery was, that was a group of ceramicists that came from the UK in the late 50s and opened up a ceramic studio, which became sort of like an informal art school. Mm-hmm. How did you get then to printmaking? And what is it about printmaking that you find so compelling?
Well, I got interested in printmaking, as I, mentioned before, that I didn't know what it was all about. Mm-hmm. I learned it from books, because when I look at the works of, say, Rembrandt, mm-hmm. I look at the work of Francisco Goya, yep. His Disasters of War, and I look at the work of Henry McNeil Whistler. Mm-hmm. Those were fantastic American as well as European printmakers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, one of my favorite was William Blake.
Oh, yeah. Now, oh, my gosh.
Blake, I think people thought he was a little bit crazy, but I really admired his work.
I think he was just inspired.
Yeah. I really think that. But, there were certain works that I really do admire, mm-hmm. and still do in a sense. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting there because Blake was also a painter, but he's really known for his printmaking. Mm-hmm. But all the other people you mentioned, when you say their name to the average person, they probably would think of them just as being a painter. Yeah. So it's interesting that you really were drawn to that side of their practice, which is the printmaking.
Yeah, well, before I get into that, because I was so, you know, I kept reading about printmaking. I didn't even know what a brea looked like, or they call it a roller. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what an etching needle was. I didn't know what a V-gauge or U-gauge tool was. Mm-hmm. So I experimented with, I got a piece of pine wood. And then I got some old chisels, that carpenter's chisel and stuff like that. And then I tried it on a piece of wood. And after I finished cutting it, I did, you know, with a funny chisel and stuff like that. It was sort of awkward.
Pretty rough, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's still in the first piece I did is still in the collection of our National Art Gallery with a man, you know. And then I tried, one of the interesting thing about, you know, is I didn't even know what a brea was or a roller, you know.
I'm pretty sure most of our audience doesn't either.
So I got a bottle and took the bottle and rubbed the ink, you know, through the bottle. Mm-hmm. And then I took and rubbed it on the block, and I got a piece of paper and I rubbed it with, you know, I can't even remember what I rubbed it with. And I got an impression, and that was it, you know. So I didn't know what the tools were, you know, in spite of the fact. So in a sense, I lost interest, you know, because...
Because it was sort of too complicated almost.
It was complicated. Or
less, and the results weren't what you wanted.
Results wasn't, you know, what I want. So when I went to school at the Art Students League... I really was, what people don't know is I was really interested in painting like Monet or Manet, the Expressionist, because I was fascinated with their work also. And then I met a very good friend of mine. I think she's a master printer now in someplace in the United States, you know. And she told me, say, Max, when are you going to take up the printmaking class? I say, you know, I say, I'm not sure. And she told me straight and plain, she said, Max, if you take it up, that's it.
You're
going to get hooked.
Never going to go back to painting again.
She was right. She was right. So I started taking up woodcuts.
Yeah.
And then I started taking up all we learned, all the old methods in printmaking, especially etchings.
So explain to the audience. So, of course, you know, printmaking is creating an image on an object, which you then... cover with a material which you can transfer to paper. So again, like kids will do it at school with potatoes, right? They'll cut a shape out of a potato and, you know, make a print. Or you can do it with your hand even. You can make a print, right? You can paint your hand and put it on a piece of paper. Obviously printmaking, and it's interesting because it also uses the brain in an interesting way, because when you're making a print, everything's going to be backwards when you print it.
Exactly.
But explain to the audience what those differences are between, say, a woodcut and an etching.
Well, an etching is done on two types of metal that are, you know, quite popular. And that is zinc plates, and that is copper plates, and there's aluminum plates, and there's brass plates, you know. But I learned on zinc, I learned on brass, and I learned on copper. Now, when you're talking about etchings, what you have to really realize is etching takes time. When Rembrandt did his etching, sometimes he worked on a plate, I don't know, almost 10, 12 times to get the effect that he wants. And a lot of printmakers are still going through that. You know, now, if you're a line drawer, then it doesn't take that much time. But when you start taking into the process of our tonal values,
shading,
it becomes a little complicated. You see, very complicated. Because you have to dip a plate about five or six times, maybe even longer, before you can get the results that you want. So you have to print, bite, print, bite, print, bite, until you get what you want. Woodcuts is very simple, because you're only using a U-gauge and V-gauge. So you draw your image on the block, on a white block, painting it, and you draw the image accurately as you can, and then you start cutting out. All the areas you cut out is your negative. The areas that you leave is your positive areas. But it's much more simple than etchings.
Mm-hmm. Because there's not different layers. You can't really go for tones. You can go for color, but not really tone.
So now when you come into color woodcuts, then it becomes a little bit complicated. Because every color, you have to have a different block.
Right.
So you may have to cut about four or five different, you know, blocks to get all the colors you want. But there is a technique, is called subtraction technique. And that means that Picasso spent, I think, about 5 years, because I saw Picasso's lino cuts at the Modern Museum of Art. I think he spent about 5 years. And that was fantastic. Really fantastic.
Yeah, well, he was one of those people. Like, he would learn something and then excel at it. And it's annoying that there's some talents like that.
Well, he spent a good while with lino cuts. As simple as it is, he really made it interesting. And not only that, you should see the freedom that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of people don't realize is when I was in New York, and even today, you have what you call professional printers, and they would, all the artists have to do now is all he does is print the block or show them the block, and these professional printers, they take it from there.
We'll make the print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cheating a little bit?
I thought it was, but if you could afford it, that's how they make their money.
I mean, I guess it's not dissimilar to the old painters having studio assistants, right? I mean, Titian didn't paint every single inch of his canvas.
You're right, because you have to remember a lot of those, like even Durer, Titian, they had a lot of other people working.
And they would do the kind of legwork.
Exactly.
So I guess it's sort of the same. But it's interesting how there's a sort of mythology about the artist. You know, you want the artist to have done everything themselves with their hand. There's that aura about, you know, your hand. No, I want Max Taylor's hand to make my print, not some other Joe in New York.
But, you know, it'll be good if Bahamians, I know Bahamians are collecting art. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of collectors. And but everybody is painting.
It's true.
Yeah. But I would like to introduce printmaking to the Bahamas, because even in the schools, they only go to a certain point.
Like, oh, really?
Woodcuts or lino cuts and bam, that's it.
Oh, and no more.
You see?
Okay.
Yeah, nobody's doing etchings.
Well, we need to get UB on the phone.
You see? That would be a good idea. But printmaking is really exciting. Please, and when I say that, it's if you start a collection of prints, it's not that expensive.
That's true. It's true. Prints are not as expensive as paintings. So it is a much more affordable way. It's actually how I started.
Yeah.
I started with photographs and prints and then worked my way up. And I think about some of those early pieces and, you know, they're still very close to my heart. So we're talking to Max Taylor, who is, well, really the father of Bahamian art. Said Brent Malone, even though everyone called Brent that. Brent said it was really Max. So we have him in the studio, and we're talking about printmaking, which is really Max's, what he's known for. He's an excellent painter and ceramicist, but really the prints are, you know, you really, when you see one of those, you know it's nobody else. And we're talking about how he would like to see more Bahamian artists making prints. And I believe that is why he organized this exhibition, which opens in 2 nights at Dungalik Studios on Village Road between 6 and 9. So that's Friday, November 30th. And it is called Imprint. And he has got together with a couple of other Bahamian artists who we'll have on the show another time to talk about printmaking. And this show is about Bahamian printmaking. So I'd really like everyone to go out and support that. We're going to go to a quick break, but we're going to come back to hear more from Max. Are you ready? Max, for another session?
Yeah. Let's go.
You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9. We're going to be right back after this break.